Okay, so today's discussion is going to be about halachas that relate to the game of chess. So we're going to address three different topics. One is, in general, is a chess or, you know, playing any game, is that something that's approved, allowed or frowned upon? Secondly, the halacha is related to playing chess on Shabbos. And thirdly, many times you have the queen has a little cross on the top of the queen, whether you should keep that or break it off. So those are the three areas we're going to discuss. So let's take a look at a fascinating Mishnah, or really, we'll get to. So Mishnah, right. So Mishnah, Maseches Ksubas, number one, the Mishnah says, when it comes to certain responsibilities that a wife has to do for the husband, if there happen to be some helpers in the house, then she's absolved of some of the responsibilities. So the Mishnah says, number one, in Mishnah again, Nun Tesmer Bezin Maseches Ksubas. Ve'elum lachos sha'isha osa lebaila, the following are different services that the wife does for her husband. Tochenes, she grinds. Ofa, she bakes. Mechabesa, she launders. Mevashel, she cooks. Menikas bena, she nurses. Matzas lo mitap, she prepares the bed. Viose betemer, and she does something with wool. Hichnisa lo shifcha achas. Let's say they have enough money to bring in a helper. They have a helper in the house, a housekeeper, a cleaning lady. Lo tochenes, lo ofa, lo mechabesa. She doesn't have to grind or bake or wash anymore, but the other things she has to do. Shtaim, let's say she has the money to bring in two helpers. So then she doesn't have to cook anymore, doesn't have to nurse anymore. Shalosh, she has three staff members. She doesn't need to make the beds, doesn't need to do something with the wool. Arba, if she has four, Yosheves Bekatadra, she could sit comfortably wherever she wants. She's a stay-at-home mom and goes to coffee and that's it. No need to do any work, no need to clean, no need to cook. And that's if she has four. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, afilo hichnisa lo mea shvachos. Even if she has an incredibly large staff, she has 100 workers for her, kofalasos bitsemer, she has to do something with wool. She needs to do something. She can't remain idle. Why? Says Rabbi Eliezer, shabatla mivia lide zima. The person sits idle, it leads to arayos, it leads to terrible things. So she has to do something to keep herself occupied. That's Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says something quite similar. There's a subtle difference, and the Gemara is going to point out the Nafkamina. Comes along now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Af hamadir's isha milasus malacha. Even if a husband forbids his wife from doing work by taking a neder that she can't do any work for me, yotze v'yitein ksuba, he has to divorce her and give her ksuba, because you can't have a wife who does nothing, she'abatla mevia lidei shimum. Butla leads to shimum, which means ignorance. If a person remains idle, their brain becomes stale. They mentally, they lose it. So, sounds very similar to the Tanakhama, very similar to Rabbi Eliezer, that if you remain idle, it's going to lead to something bad. So, while the Tanakhama says it's going to lead to Zima, which is Erva, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it will lead to Shima, which means ignorance. So, what's the Nafkamina? So, look at number two. Gemara there says in Samach Alpha and Beis, commenting on the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer v'chule, Hainu Tanakama, they're saying the same thing, that don't remain idle. A woman must keep active to a certain extent. Ike benayu, the nafkimina is, this is all two concepts, but it's a mouthful. Dimitalala biguraisa kitnaisa, that's all one concept. And we'll see Rashi in a second, that means playing with little puppies. Metaltala means like to move around. And geraisa are dogs, and kitnais are small. So playing with puppies, we'll look at Rashi in a second, and something called nidrashir. These are the two nafkuminas. What does that mean? So look at three, Rashi to comment. Rashi quotes the Gemara, the metala, the geraisa, kitnaisa, the nidrashir. Misacheches beklovim dakim. If she plays with little puppies, or schok, a game, shikorin ishkakish, which is chess. I don't know French, but the understanding is that this is referring to the game of chess. If she's either playing chess or card games or anything of the sort, she's staying active to a certain extent, playing with dogs, animals. Lide zima ika, it will lead to zima. It's nothing productive. It's going to lead to terrible erva. But lide shima meleka, but it won't lead to ignorance. The ein shimum, this ignorance only comes biyoshe v'toa ubatal gamre. Person who just sits there doing absolutely nothing, staring at the wall, that leads to ignorance. But if she's staying active, she's playing with dogs and she's using her mind, she's playing chess or maybe cards or games of some sort, that allows the brain to still function. She won't lead to shimum, but since it's not anything significant, it will lead to zima. That's an afkamina. So what's fascinating here is Rashi interprets the Gemara referring to the game of chess. It's referenced in the Gemara here, the game of chess. Now Rashi's not the only Rishon to address the game of chess. The Mishnah Masechet Sanhedrin tells us the following individuals are disqualified from giving testimony. They cannot be an aid. And on the list, the Mishnah Chav Dalem Bey says, Ve'elu hein psulin ha-mesachek bikuvia, playing with dice, gambling, is one of the examples of one who's pasul from being an aid. Rambam comments here in this discussion, he's using Arabic, but in the Perish Mishnayos, they interpret his Arabic to refer to the game of chess. He says, if you're playing chess for money, you're gambling with chess, that would also disqualify a person. The implication is, if you're not gambling, you're playing chess because you enjoy it, a good play, no way to pass the time, so then the Rambam would think you wouldn't be puzzle, but he addresses the game of chess. The Ibn Ezra has a poem he wrote. He was very... He wrote a lot of different types of things outside of just the Perish on Chumash. He was a poet, and he wrote a poem about the game of chess, how the game works, how enjoyable it is. So the Rishonim addressed it, and some of them even played it. The Shevet Musar, which is a sefer on Musar, has a very lengthy discussion where he was frowning upon playing chess, but he frowned upon any activity that was for leisure, because we should be spending time learning. So if you are in the world of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Terasa Munasa, where your Torah was how you spent every waking moment, so then it would certainly be a waste of time. If you are like any of us here, where we do have times to take it easy, chess seemingly would not be a problem otherwise. Yes?
When you say for money, that doesn't mean like a tournament. That means if you're gambling.
You're gambling, exactly. Gambling. I'm going to pay.
If you enter a tournament that you can win,
You're not putting money down. If I'm gambling, I'll pay $100 to the winner. Me versus you, that would be considered betting and gambling. Now, gambling is a whole other discussion. To what extent does that disqualify a person, perhaps for another shir? Okay. So that's regarding playing in general. The very fact that the Gemara, Rashi, Rambam, Ibn Ezra all addressed it is fascinating. Historically, they say Shlomo HaMelech was one who created it. Not so clear where it comes from, but either way, it was certainly addressed at least by the Rishonim and the Gemara, this game. Now, should one play this game of chess on Shabbos? There's a Shiltei Gibur in the back of Maseches Erevin. He's talking about certain activities that may or may not be done on Shabbos. He addresses the question of whether you could whistle on Shabbos. In this discussion, he talks about playing games. The Shiltei Gibur, if you look at number 5, says as follows. Noshim, ha-mesachkos be'agozim opetapuchim, women who play with nuts or apples on Shabbos, hareza asa, you can't play. The way you used to, we have marbles. I haven't seen marbles in a while, but you roll things on the ground, and you need the ground to be very flat to see how marbles work, how far it goes, who gets to the closest to the end, I don't know. But playing with egozim, tapuchim, or marbles is asa on Shabbos. Why? Shema yavo lahachlik hakarka, because you might level the ground, ulahashros gumosov, and to fill in any of the holes so it remains flat. It's similar to why one can't play soccer on Shabbos as well, among other reasons too, but if you're playing soccer outside on the ground, if it's bumpy, you want it to be flat. So playing anything on a ground outside which requires a flat surface is usur, lest you come to flatten it and violate choresh. V'nir be'enai, says the Shiltei Giburim, shimheina misachkos lenatzeach zu et zu. If you're playing in order to beat each other, seemingly for money, afilu b'chol aser, even on a Sunday, it would be aser to play for money. Mipneshehu dome lukuvi, it's like playing, it's gambling, playing with dice. You can't play for money, that's gambling, it's aser. Kimavur b'kuntris harayas. Fine, that's what he says about gambling in general. Uvidivre riaz tzarechiyin, the divre riaz, one of the Rishonim, I don't understand. The haschok egozim v'tapuchim havimidi d'tali b'chachma. Meaning gambling is usur if you're playing a game that requires no skill. Again, gambling is another topic where I'll address it just momentarily, but that which depends on complete luck. You could tie into whether blackjack requires luck. Every game has a certain element of luck and element of understanding statistics and the chachma to it. But if it's completely luck, so then that would be usur. But if it's taller than chachma, wisdom, or skill, that's not us, he says. This game of rolling marbles is tali b'chachma. It's my skill of practicing, having, you know, bowling. I practice how to spin it, how to hit the pins down. That's not luck. Ain't no tali b'gora. That's not complete luck. Binyan de lehave dumi de kubri. Rolling dice is complete luck. Rolling marbles is not luck. That's skill. Dili di day, yanami, according to him, are you going to tell me that it's usher, lischok, bischok, hashkek, which is chess? Are you going to tell me chess is usher? Certainly not. Chess isn't usher. Chess is mutter. That depends on chachma. That's not gambling. So he says chess is completely okay. Even if it's for money, it's allowed. And on Shabbos also, he says there's no reason to usher chess on Shabbos. It's completely fine. That's what the Shilti Giburim writes. It's okay during the week. And it's okay during Shabbos. There's no issue even for money. It's not gambling because it depends on your wisdom, your skill. Now, the Shulchan Aruch brings this lehalach and Hilchos Shabbos in Simen Shin Lamed Ches. If you look at number 6, Ein Soch Kin Be'Gozim, don't play with nuts, lo betapuchim, nor apples, koyotze ben, or anything like that, Mishim Ashve Gumos, because you might have to flatten the ground. Now, if you play inside on a hard floor, there are heter. V'dafka al gabi karka, says their ma, al gabi shulchan, on a table, or perhaps a wooden floor, or a marble floor, or carpet, shari, that's allowed, because you can't flatten that. It's not dirt. Telekele migzah sham, misham gumos. Fine. Says their ma further, umutter lischok bat samos shekorin check, or chess checkers, that they used to make the pieces out of bones. That was the material. You could make them out of wood, out of bones, anything. You could make them gold, silver. The afapi shemashmin kol, even though they make noise, we'll explain how in a second, hol ve'ena mechavrin l'shir, that's allowed. So chess sets, if it's bones, you put them down, it makes like a cling and a clang. You put the rook here, you put the knight there, it makes noise. That's not a problem of making shir on Shabbos. You can't play music, you can't play guitar, you can't play drums. Moving chess pieces, although it might be noisy in certain sets, it's not going to be us. It's no different than we have a Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah has oftentimes a crown. The crown has bells. And you carry it back and forth on Shabbos, it makes sound, right? The Taz says it does make sound, but your kavanah isn't to make music. Your kavanah isn't to make sounds. It happens to be. That's how they decorate it. So too, playing chess is not a problem. It's not a problem of making sound. It's not a problem of, mas for gumos. It's not a problem of gambling. It's talin chachma. And therefore, it's very clear in their Ramah, you're allowed to play chess on Shabbos. Now, says the Magen Avraham something very interesting. On this, he says, number 7, V'nagu lasos ha'iskaki, again, which is this different languages for the game of chess. You're allowed to play this, you should make it one of kesef. Make it out of silver. Why? Dim lo kein mechse k'uv de duchol. Like you're playing a weekday game. You should have a special weekday chess set and a special Shabbos chess set. So the example he gave was silver. It doesn't have to be silver. That's going to be quite expensive, but it should be different. Just like we have a halacha, there are certain brushes you're allowed to use on Shabbos. It has to be a brush that's not going to tear any hair, but that brush you use on Shabbos should be a different brush than you use during the week, because it otherwise uvda dechol. Everything on Shabbos should be different. My suit should be different, my shirts, my ties, my hats, my yarmulkes maybe, my shoes, my socks, everything should be different. Even your brush should be different. That's agreed upon by everyone. Says the Magen Avraham, your chess set should also be different. And that should be the case of every game. If you play Monopoly during the week and Monopoly on Shabbos, according to this, you should have the special deluxe edition of Monopoly on Shabbos. Now, how far do you go? I'm not sure. But either way, he addresses the case of chess, and there should be a special designated Shabbos set for the chess game. Now, he does quote afterwards, at the end of this Magen Avraham, Rabbi Elazar Sasson, Chalik argued, "V'sfir lei kaven she'ein to'eles b'yedias chachmas ha'iskaki, which is chess, aser. There is no value in knowing the game of chess. There's a value in knowing other types of wisdoms. Knowing mathematics, science, even history could all be very helpful. Knowing chess, one could contend there's no purpose of it. So just to win for what? Now, I think you could argue and say that the chess, it helps the mind, it sharpens the mind, helps you have patience, analyze, see bigger pictures. There certainly are ways to explain how it is not directly beneficial, but there are secondary things you could accomplish from chess. How could it impact how you look at other things in this world. But again, it's debatable, not because playing chess on Shabbos is a violation of Shabbos, but playing chess is just a waste of time. It's a waste of wisdom, waste of space in the brain. The El Yuzuta also writes, it's also to play chess on Shabbos. Number 8, Schikas Ha'ishkaki, which is chess, Usser V'Shabbos. But we assume that chess is mutter on Shabbos, like the Rama writes. But look at this fascinating tshuva number 9 on the next page, the very top, the Igros Moshe. He was addressing the question of playing chess on Shabbos, and he writes, U'mischak ha-shech, chess, checkers, b'Shabbos. Me'etim adin, according to the letter of the law, ein le'eser, there's no reason to prohibit playing chess on Shabbos. Imnan and mizef, you enjoy it, it's a good activity, it's fun. Aval vadai, yosir roi, shelo lishachik, b'zeh mitzad, v'daber daver. There's certain activities, certain types of conversations we should be having on Shabbos. And chess is not one of them. You should be talking and learning and Parsha, and Gemara, Halacha. That a person should be speaking about. None of those activities a person should be doing. So Mikardin is allowed, but because Daber Daber, one should avoid it if possible. But it is Ra'i, he says. It's not Usser. But then he writes something fascinating. V'gam lepamim, sometimes ha-menutzach, the one who gets defeated, the loser, mitzta'er, is very bothered, upset, frustrated, angry. Then it becomes forbidden to play. If you play a game and you get so upset, you throw the chessboard across the room, or either you don't get that angry, but you get visibly upset, it really disturbs you, then it's usher to play on Shabbos because you have to be happy on Shabbos. But oneg Shabbos, I would add, you shouldn't even play during the week if that's how you feel. If you're getting so frustrated from the game of chess, tennis, basketball, then you shouldn't be playing anymore. One of the reasons why I stopped playing basketball at my age, because it doesn't work the way it used to work. I can't shoot and run like I used to play. It gets frustrating. So there's certain games in the house with my kids. We got very, very labradic. We don't play. I assert the game of Risk in my house. Great game. A lot of fun. Long game. A lot of waste of time. But it got a little too intense. Why are you always attacking me? You don't attack him. It got very intense. So that game is usher in the house. Among other games also, the kids are very competitive. But Ramosha says, on Shabbos, it's usher if you're mitzar. I'm adding it should be usher even during the week if you're mitzar, because you're derech eretz. You have to be, you know, a good sportsmanship. But either way, me'ikr din, so long as a person does so with good sportsmanship and good conduct and good derech eretz, then it would be allowed if a person wants to take a break. The person otherwise would be learning, so then learning should trump playing chess. If not, a guy wants to relax and his oneg Shabbos is playing chess, like his nap is oneg Shabbos, there certainly is room to be make. Yes.
How does getting upset violate Daber Daber?
So, I'm not sure. He has a broader definition of a Daber Daber. That really, my understanding would be, mitzvah would be a violation of oneg Shabbos. That's a violation. But Daber Daber means it's not in the anything outside of Shabbos, whether it means your speech or even your feelings. That would be a violation of Daber Daber. But typically, the Daber Daber is how a person speaks. He expands the definition of how a person even feels, it seems. He doesn't elaborate on it, though. That's my understanding. Okay.
You see, the competition really develops personality also, really. So there's something to be learned about competition. You know, when you play a game, there has to be a winner, there has to be a loser. And you have to learn how to be a loser. I mean, it's easy to be a winner, but to be a loser, it's competition. You're not going to win all the time. And it does develop personality.
Yeah, and Einachanami, you're right. But if it's going to lead to a person where he gets so angry, so either he has to overcome that, or he should avoid the situation in the first place. So it depends on the parent in the situation.
The only way that you can overcome it is by playing more. If you can't, if you're playing more and it's making it worse, then obviously...
Right, but if you have a guy who's on the tennis court who's always just cursing all the time, like, he's at his age, he's not learning anything anymore. He's just not, he's at a point where he is what he is, he's not changing, and that person shouldn't be playing anymore. Now, if a person is in a place in life where he's willing to work on himself, make himself better, so then you say, listen, it's a great opportunity for you to try it out. Now, maybe that person testing out his midos should not be done on Shabbos, because if he does the wrong thing, it would share his Shabbos. But maybe during the weekday, let's test out how your anger is and let's see how you deal with losing. But Eina Hanami, it's a competition, does have a lot of value, as you would know very well.
So liberals can't play.
Okay. So now let's go to the last topic, the third topic. Yeah.
Many chess have a cross.
Not right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right now. Right. The third and final point will be the cross. Is that cross of any issue? Should you leave it, break it off, or avoid buying such a set? So based on the Gemara, look at the Shulchan Aruch. He pretty much brings out what the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says about images and idols. We'll read through number 10, Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Avodah Zarah, Simen Kuf Mem Aleph. Kolat Slamim, all the images, Shel Avodas Kochavim Hanimtsom Bekvarim, that are found in villages, Asurim, that's all Asur. We assume a Stam idol, a Stam image in a small village, Stam Elushem Avodas Kochavim Nasu, it was made to worship, and therefore it's Asur to get Hana from, Asur to worship, Asur to do everything to it, it's Asur. Hanimtsom Bekrachim, if you find these images, idols in large cities, Mutarim, that's allowed, Divadei Lenoi Nasu, you have so many different images throughout the big cities. They were not all meant to be worshipped. They're meant to decorate the city. Ela imkein, unless you know, omdin al pesach medina. If it's at the entrance of the gate, it's everyone should see, then it's certainly to be assumed that's a avodah zarah. But anywhere else dispersed throughout the city, you could assume that it was made simply as noi, as decoration to enhance the city. Says the Shulchan Aruch further, Haya biyana tsura tsuras makel tzipor kadur or saif. If the image is holding a stick or a bird or a bull or a sword or a taras tabas, a crown or a ring, so that's also bechlal of avodah zarah based on the Gemara. Not for now. Rama writes tsuros shemishtachavim lahem. Any image that people bow down to dinam kedin hatzelm, that has a din of a tzelm of an avodah zarah v'yasurin below pito. Aval osan shetolin. Those images that are suspended from the neck, a necklace of a cross, let's say, that's not called an image. Nobody worships that, although it might be the same image of whatever idol, whatever god they try to worship, but that itself is not what they're worshiping. That's a reminder, no different, and lahavdil, to our mezuzah and tzitzis, that this reminds us of Hashem, of doing the mitzvahs. This is their reminder of whatever they're worshiping. Fine. Now, so that would seem that a cross should be okay. No one's worshiping the cross on top of the queen. It's just a reminder of some sort.
If you have some kind of an image in your house of a person, or whether it be a lady or a man, don't they say that you really have to do something?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I won't get too involved in statues in general, but let's just finish, we have 5 minutes, let's finish this piece there. But in general, statues are issues. And now, the Ramosha was addressing the following question. Let's say you have a stamp with a cross on that stamp. Can you use that? Can you put it on an envelope? Could you get hana from that? What's the issue? So look what he writes just to see the question, number 11, the bold. Imuter lischor bestampas, stamps, shel hamidino sheyesh stamps shemitsuyer alem shesi ve'erev. Shesi ve'erev is a cross. That's how you say a cross. The komim, that you have priests and crosses, that allowed. So he writes that the there's no reason to answer them. He quotes a Tosas in Rush in Shabbos, that they had coins that had images of gods on them. And the Gemara there points out that there were certain Amoraim, namely Rabbi Menachem Bar Misimai, who was called Benon Shel Kedoshim, the children of Kedoshim, because he did not look at the images on coins. He didn't look at the gods that appeared on coins. And the Gemara there, Rabbi Tosa says, that was a high level. That was his level. He was very, very careful with his eyes. But Mikra Din, you can look at the coins. Ah, there's a picture of a god or whatever it is. How can we look at it? Because those were not meant to worship. The images that appear in the coins were just reminders. They're a symbol of whatever god that they're worshiping. That itself wasn't the Avodah Zarah. Along the same lines as Ramosha, the stamps, nobody worships the stamps. Nobody worships the image that appears on the stamp. It's a zikaron, it's a reminder, it's a simon of that god, of that cross. And therefore, he says, there is no issue with it either. And then he says, he also thinks, happens to me when it comes to a cross, the cross itself isn't the god. A cross itself, in general, even a real cross, a statue of a cross, that is just a simon of their religion. It's their flag, if you will. But that's not the god itself. It's not an idol. And therefore, another reason why the cross would be allowed. And then thirdly, at least as it relates to a stamp, he says that he thinks it's, even if you want to say it represents the god itself, he says that it's mevaza. It's a great way to be mevaza, the cross. You put it, you lick it, you put it on an envelope, it gets stamped, it gets thrown in the mailbox, it gets thrown around. It's a mevaza, the avodah zarah. So for these three reasons, Ramosha says it's completely allowed. You could use these stamps with the cross. So we would say the same thing, the cross on the queen. So nobody worships that. It's only Zikaron Ba'alma. It's there just to decorate it. And therefore, maybe you could say it's Mevaza. You know, you knock the queen out, you throw her on the ground, and you're knocking down to Mevaza, the Vodazar, or whatever it is. There's no reason to knock it off. That being said, there is a Chachmas Adam, which may indicate there might be a Chumrah that one should knock off the cross. And Chachmas Adam writes in number 12 that although the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah said that the crosses that people wear on their necks are not exactly a Avodah Zarah, it's just a Zikaron Ba'alma, and therefore Mutter, he does quote an opinion that he thinks there's no distinction between that which is a real image versus that which people wear as a necklace, and it would be usher, it all should be usher. If that's the case, maybe just like when a person wears a necklace of a cross, it should be usher to Chachmas Adam, so to a cross that appears on top of the queen would be usher as well. But it seems Pasha Pshat according to Moshe, there should not be any concern at all, and you could leave it. If you want, we have a wooden set that we had for some time now. Pieces are beginning to fall off. We did take off the cross. It was easy to take off. But if you have an expensive set made of silver or gold, I wouldn't encourage you to do so. If you want to, great, but it wouldn't be according to the Pesach Halacha. Okay, now the next 2 weeks, the Amak giving